The play Eight is written by Oscar winner Dustin Lance Black and is based on interviews and transcripts from the Prop 8 trial in California after marriage equality opponents succeeded in having cameras barred from the courtroom. It is made up of interviews, news reports, and court transcripts and highlights the main points which led to the court finding Prop 8 unconstitutional. In conjunction with RPI Community Advocates and the Pride Center, a staged reading of the play will take place at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall on Friday, March 22nd at 7:30 p.m. Joining us to tell us more, we welcome Aaron Hallbreder, the show's director, Isaac Newberry, who plays plaintiff Paul Katami, and Gary Maggio as Chief Judge Vaughn Walker. Aaron, Isaac, Gary, thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Nice to be here.
Aaron, how did this all come about?
At the time I was working as development coordinator for the Pride Center, and I got a call from Cynthia Smith, who is the assistant dean of students at RPI, and she also runs the RPI Community Advocates. She had seen the video. The play was done as a reading in LA that was performed live on YouTube, and it had Brad Pitt and George Clooney and all of these stars came out to be a part of it. She had seen that, and she thought that it was something that RPI Community Advocates could get behind to do, and wanted to know if the Pride Center was interested in co-sponsoring it. And I said yes, and because I have a pretty extensive theater background, they asked me if I would be interested in directing, and again I said yes. And they got us together with Troy Music Hall, and we put a cast together of our own little local theater stars, and that's where we are.
What is, and I want to talk to this members of the cast in just a second, but what is the advantage of a stage reading for you?
A stage reading, first of all, the advantage is it requires less rehearsal. When you're doing something off book from memorization, a lot of the rehearsal is repetition for memory's sake.
Just getting it right.
Right. So when you have the advantage of being able to do it as a reading from the book, you don't have to do that repetition. So whereas I've done some stage readings where, we've rehearsed two times and gone up. This one we've rehearsed a little bit more because we really wanted to get, the cast was really interested in getting it right. So they've really put a lot more time into this than they would a typical stage reading.
So Isaac, tell us a little bit about that process.
The process is, it's pretty cool. You go in and you get to really just start working on characterization right away because you don't have to worry about the memorization, as Aaron said. So you can just kind of jump right in.
And how much do you read and want to get familiar with the work before that first go-around?
At least you want to read through it a few times to make sure you're comfortable with the intent of the words and what's behind it. And it also allows you a lot more time just to jump in and research, especially in this case. Every character is a real person in this case.
Yeah.
So you can kind of get in and learn their history a little bit.
And Gary, what was that process like for you?
Well, it was particularly challenging in this particular case because a good part of this script is a transcription from the actual trial. And if you're not careful, it can be a little dry because it's a trial. There's a lot of legalese. So it's great to collaborate with Aaron because he has clever ways of getting dramatic things out of things that are a little dry. And so he helps you work on the character and give a little bit more of a backstory to the people themselves. And it makes it a little bit more interesting to listen to.
Mm. Has this always? I know it's been done. I know it's been done in LA, as you mentioned, and there I've heard of other readings. I know there was one over at Williamstown. Mm-hmm. So has it been fully produced yet?
I don't believe that it has. No, actually, the rights are held by the American Federation for Equal Rights, which is the organization that raises money to pay for the legal costs to fight Prop 8. And so they hold the rights, so they control how it's done. And to my knowledge, they've only let it be done as a staged reading at this point. It might be something that changes maybe after the Supreme Court case goes up. But currently, right now, they're only only releasing it to be done as a staged reading.
So when you look at it, again, as I mentioned and as Gary alluded to, it's based on interviews and transcripts. So how does that, how do you pull that off?
Well, you know, Dustin Lance Black is a screenwriter and you know, an Oscar-winning screenwriter. So he has a really good ability of, you know, creating a story. So my job as a director is to find the rhythms and to find where the tension builds or where we take an emotional turn. And it's about hitting those specific marks, which sort of draw the audience in. You know, there are a couple of surprising twists. I think for people who aren't that familiar with how the verdict in the trial came about, I think they'll be surprised to see the way it played out.
Mm. And you want to get—I mean—and that's part of the point, right?
To get
people.
Yeah, I mean,
ticked off a little bit.
Well, you know, one of my favorite lines is by a character who plays one of the attorneys for the plaintiffs, David Boies, who says, who said in a news interview that, you know, we put fear and prejudice on trial, and there's a real sense for me the play sort of. Really reinforced my faith in the American judicial system. You see a lot of anti-gay marriage people on the news or in interviews saying a lot of things, and it frustrates you. And when you see how those people sound when they're on the stand, when they're under oath, it's comforting to know that we have a justice system that requires people to stand and speak true and be held accountable for the things that they say.
But the fact that but also the frustration comes back when you realize it got that far.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it does kind of make you shake your head and go, "What?" Gary, you were saying just before in the green room how that, you know, it's hard to imagine how the verdict could have been anything but.
When you see what kind of evidence is given and who actually did have the nerve to stand up, some of the anti-gay people, and testify, which were very few, you look at this testimony, you think, there's no way the Supreme Court is ever going to not support what this verdict was, but who knows?
You know? Right. When obviously you do this, and it's a good thing. My clunky way of asking this question, but I mean, there's putting on a show, and there's the greatness of that, and bringing this to the community. But then there's sort of that higher thing of bringing it out to an audience and talking about an issue,
right.
and also getting the word out about RPI Community Advocates and the Pride Center, mm-hmm. and so there's a lot going on here,
sure.
That sort of goes beyond just the performance, which is great.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one of the things that was really exciting for us, we chose the date of March 22nd back in September when we first started putting this together, and so it's rather serendipitous that the Supreme Court will be hearing the case on March 26th.
Yeah.
So it's always exciting to do a piece of theater that you feel passionate about because of what it says about our culture, about our society, and about our community. But the opportunity to be able to do it at such
it's really a moment in history.
Yeah,
the timing is pretty impressive the way it worked out.
Yeah. So to be able to do it then just makes it that much more exciting for us, I think.
Isaac, tell us a little bit about Paul Katami.
Sure, Paul Katami is, he's inspiring. I was talking to Aaron about it the other day, and apparently the way they choose, in a case like this, they choose the plaintiffs. Usually they go in and kind of find plaintiffs that kind of fit what they're looking to defend or what they're looking at. But Paul Katami and his partner, along with the other two plaintiffs, actually, they're the ones that pushed for this. They pushed for this case, and he's an inspiring guy. Almost a hero in the respect that he was able to just stand up, go against all the fear and the prejudice, and just go for what he felt was right.
And Gary, you play the judge, Chief
right.
Judge Vaughn Walker. Tell us a little bit about him.
Well, he's got an interesting history in that when he was first made a federal judge or tried to become a federal judge under Ronald Reagan, he was turned away because he supposedly made some anti-gay decisions and they did not approve him right away. More recently, he was criticized for this verdict because he has had his own male partner for several years. And so the opposite ended up happening. What was interesting was knowing that he was had a male partner was to try to play this as a man who really believed in the law and wanted to deal with this case strictly on the evidence that was given. And so that was the challenge, not to let his own bent in this situation have any influence on how he was going to decide.
I would think Troy Sittings Bank Music Hall seems like a great place. We were talking to Sean Stone about this, but a great place to do. You don't see a lot of theater work there, but it's neat to
yeah.
a neat place to have it done.
Yeah. We're really excited to get in there. We're actually getting in there for the first time on Wednesday to tech in and get ready. And it's just it's such a beautiful place and it's such an historical place. And to be able to do a reading there, we do a very simple staging. We bring all 22 actors out on stage. We sit them down and people just kind of come forward and, there's a limited amount of movement. And the way that stage is set up, it's very wide and very narrow.
Yeah,
so for a traditional theater project, it might not be ideal, but for this, it's perfect.
Well, it all is happening on Friday night at 7:30. RPI Community Advocates in the Pride Center are presenting a stage reading of the play 8 at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall on Friday, March 22nd at 7:30. And for more information, you can go to capitalpridecenter.org, capitalpridecenter.org, and find out about the reading of 8. Friday night, 7:30, capitalpridecenter.org. Aaron and Isaac and Gary, I wish you nothing but the best of luck. Have a wonderful performance Friday night, and thank you so much for sharing with us this morning. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Great.
Thanks.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.